Now, some researchers from Western Sydney University and Flinders University have analysed data on more than 1 million recorded births in New South Wales to understand the factors that may contribute to babies being born before arrival. It's called BBA. Well, it means you're born in the taxi or the bus or the family car or at home with a harried phone call to somebody who knows what they're doing in order to know how to do it. Professor Hannah Dahlen is from Western Sydney University, the School of Nursing and Midwifery. She's had a hand in many births. She joins us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How many babies do you reckon you've had a hand in?
It's got to be into the thousands. I haven't kept a record, but it's got to be into the thousands.
Into the thousands. And, of course, most of those will be in hospital in this or at home in these organised circumstances, but not all of them.
No, exactly. So what we were looking at is those babies that intended to be either in a hospital birth centre or at home and actually were born elsewhere. So that was the population we were really interested in.
How many of the, I mean, this is a statistical study, of course, and we'll come to it, but how many of them have you seen up close?
Are births or babies born before arrival?
Where you've rushed out of the hospital and there's been a taxi or a car and you've helped out.
A few. And there's something about the doors of the hospital and the car park at the hospital that makes everybody go, we're here, and then often the baby will come. So you're often hovering around the door trying to give them some privacy while you're trying to catch the baby and reassure them that everything's okay. So
does it freak everyone out, the partner, the taxi driver, whoever it is?
Yeah, and there's always the questions about what are we going to do with cleaning the car, which I tend to think is probably the least relevant at that point.
That's the least of our problems. The raising the child for the next 20 years is probably...
Exactly.
You've got even an example of this in your own family.
I do. All of us were born overseas because my parents worked overseas, and when my mother came back to Australia with my fifth brother, who was she was pregnant with, she decided she wanted to have a really nice, civilised Australian birthing experience, booked into the Mater at that time, and got caught unawares. My father was away. My brother was 36 weeks and decided to come. Her friend gave her a lift, and she wanted her Australian birth. She got her iconic Australian birth by having him on the Sydney Harbour Bridge in the back seat of the car.
Wow. All right. I better give the number. This is statistically quite rare, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the babies who were born on the way to the hospital, you wanted to get to the hospital, but you never made it. Does that sound familiar to you? 1-300-222-702. You've analysed this small cohort and try to find out what is different about the people to whom this happens. What have you found out?
5,000 cases of what we call BBA, and we found that they're predominantly Australian born, that they are predominantly the second baby, in fact. So they're less commonly the first baby, and they're most commonly the second baby. They're more commonly girls, which is quite intriguing. They're also more common around lower socioeconomic groups where maybe attendance at care has been less prompt and maybe there's less awareness. But they're also more common in rural and remote areas of Australia where there's more than 2 hours between where a person lives.
So some of that is kind of obvious. Obviously, if you're in a rural area, you've got two hours from the farm. Of course, there's going to be that issue. Some of those other things are intriguing, though. Why would Australian-born people be more likely to leave it to the last minute than someone from a recent ethnic community, for instance?
Well, fascinating. Perhaps Australian-born people are more diversely located and the people from different countries are more located within Sydney.
Yeah.
So we don't know all the answers. When we look at statistics, we can tell you it's happening, but we maybe can't answer all the questions about why.
Okay, again, that might be a country-city thing, actually. Yes, the country population is much more Australian-born. Female, though.
Yes. Well, this is coming up repeatedly in our research. Little girl babies are smaller. They tend to have smaller heads and smaller shoulders, and they do tend to cooperate a little bit more in labour. So they are less likely to end up with cesarean sections, do things
I got to stop you. What? Girls cooperate more in labour.
They cooperate more in labour. They cooperate more when they're born, and then they're premature too. They recover much quicker and easier than boys. So we're not sure why, but that may be one of the reasons why they tend to come a little bit easier and catch their mothers unaware.
Okay, so if you've got a cooperative girl daughter and a uncooperative boy, it starts early. It starts right from the very beginning. Hannah Dallin is the Professor of Midwifery at the Western Sydney University. These stories that she's telling, do they chime with you? Paul's from Freshwater. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Richard.
You've got a family case too.
Yeah, my second oldest brother, he was actually born in a hospital, but as Mum got into the hospital, they put her in a wheelchair and went into the lift, and a doctor went into the lift with her as well, and by the time they got up to the top of the lift, my second oldest brother was born.
Somewhere between sort of floor 3 and 4.
And the funny thing, Richard, is like he was early getting born, but in life he's always late for things.
Only early once. Good on you, Paul. Steve's in from Cronulla. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Richard.
Your second daughter, because we said about second daughters, this is your case.
Yeah, well, so I was living in the Shire and had my car in for service, and my wife had quite a few false calls, and my daughter's actually 6 months premature. And we sort of thought, oh, it was another false alarm. So we waited and waited, and 4 o'clock in the morning we thought, well, hang on, we better go. So we left and got to, we were on our way to St George Hospital, and we got to right near Cogger Oval there, and out she came. And, got to the, got into the emergency, beeping the horn and all that. And I'm holding her in my hands, and the nurse leans in and says, do you want to cut the umbilical cord? And I said, well, I think I've done enough. You can do that.
That's right. I've done all your work for you so far. Hey, so was she all right? That's very premature, isn't it?
Yeah, she was fine. She was quite small and went through the rigmarole of she was in hospital for 6 weeks or something like that. But no, she's fine now. She's 17 years old and going good.
Fantastic. And what about the taxi driver? Was he freaked out?
He had one of those. It was one of those taxis where it was immaculate. And he had the plastic covers on the back seat and everything, all the whole thing. And then, like, the waters broke and everything. And I've sort of took the missus away with the baby and all that, and he's standing there looking at me, and I said, look, I had like $200 on me, and I've gone, the cab fare was about $70 or something, and I went, here you go, and I've just given him it all, and I just left him. I said, I've got to go, and he's standing there with a shocked look on his face with the money in his hand. I said, well, that'll have to do you, mate.
That'll have to do. Well, that sounds reasonable, clear. Yeah. $200. Hey, good on you, Steve. Congratulations to your daughter. I'm sure she's early to everything still. Hey, Mary Louise in Killarney. Good afternoon, Mary Louise.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, you had your baby not in the hospital.
Not in the hospital, but on the floor of my workplace in the staff room.
Oh, wow. Okay. How was that?
Wasn't it what I expected. Like the speaker was saying, second baby, so I thought that, you know, I knew what it would be like, and I was finishing work on the Friday, and on the Thursday morning, didn't feel 100%, but just thought that it was, you know, that I was getting closer. Got to work, was there for a couple of hours, and then all of a sudden thought, ooh, what's that? And my waters broke, and then immediately could feel the head pushing down, and got into the staff room, and he was born on the floor just before the ambulance could arrive.
And what? How does everyone react to that? Because in a way, it's the most beautiful human miracle, actually, that you're witness to. On the other hand, it's probably pretty sort of scary.
Well, it was just quite chaotic because it just all happened so fast, of where I was saying, I'm not going to make it to hospital. This baby's coming now. And they're saying, be calm. It's okay. And then the next thing, they're like, oh, I can see its head. It is coming now.
Is the baby now grown up, late to everything? Or early to everything?
Yes, he is, and he's 22, and, you know, had more sense of urgency then when he was being born than he's ever shown at any other point in his adult life.
Certainly when it comes to cleaning up his room. Hey, yeah, good on you, Mary Louise.
Okay.
What a fantastic story. Hannah Darlin is here. She's Professor of Midwifery at Western Sydney University, and she's done the research. The story about the baby born in the lift in the hospital, does that often happen that they're born in hospital but in those chaotic situations?
Absolutely, and sometimes you can see the woman's pants sort of slowly descending in front of her, and there's a baby behind that, and you have to fish it out. So I've certainly caught a baby in a lift before. Mm-hmm. It's not an uncle. It's almost like once they're there, they think it's all going to be okay, and they let go, and out comes the baby.
I had my third in the car, says Kim from Lewisham. Look, it sounds like it's kind of relatively common. What about when it's at home, but they know that it's coming, and they haven't got time to have the planned trip to the hospital? They ring someone like you, don't they?
Well, they ring an ambulance usually, unless they're a planned home birth, and then their midwife will be on their way, and then that's very easy to deal with because they stay there and everything's taken care of. But call an ambulance. The big thing is get down low, put something soft under you, try to, if there's heating around, put it on. When the baby comes out, put it straight on your chest, skin to skin with mum, warm towel over the top, and keep it warm. The biggest thing that happens with these babies is they're cold. And don't try to do heroic things like tie shoelaces around cords and deliver the placenta. Mm-hmm. Just wait for help to come.
Just relax, keep the baby warm, and remember that love never runs on time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, you know and I know that love never runs on time.
Professor Hannah Darlin from Western Sydney University with her study of the babies that arrive on the way to the hospital.
I've been asking around, but you haven't been seen. I never thought we were perfect. Oh, but darling, what we could have been.